Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C., the persecution of Christians on the rise, what we can do about it.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Last year, we prayed together for Pastor Saeed Abedini, detained in Iran since 2012. And I was recently in Boise, Idaho, and had the opportunity to meet with Pastor Abedini's beautiful wife and to convey to them that our country has not forgotten Brother Saeed and that we're doing everything we can to bring him home.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The focus, the persecution of Christians around the world and the work of the American Center for Law and Justice and our international affiliates. We're going to discuss a very different sections today on what's happening with the persecution around the world. Many of you have taken action, and it goes back to even when you're talking about the situation involving Youssef Nader Khani in Iran. The Iranian pastor was on death row and was released, then rearrested, and you spoke out again, and he was released again. And the situations involving Saeed Abedini ongoing, his imprisonment in Iran, an American pastor imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. You look at the situation involving Asiya Bibi in Pakistan, a Pakistani Christian, a mom, a wife, who again is also facing the death penalty for blasphemy there, and she was offering someone water. We're going to talk about, of course, the rise of ISIS as well. We're going to talk about it all today on Jay Sekulow Live, and it's important time as we remind you about all of these issues happening around the world and some of the key discussions we've had around the world with leaders, with those who are advocating for the persecuted church. We want to remind you that you can join the American Center for Law and Justice. It's a great time because we've got a matching challenge right now where anything you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled for us. You can go to aclj.org to donate online or call now. Here's our toll-free number. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. Folks, we've got an upcoming documentary about religious persecution and the persecution of Christians around the world. Let's go to some of that now. I want you to get a sneak peek, if you will, about our team and the work that we've done. And because of you, the work that we've been able to do for the persecuted church, there's a lot more to do around the world, and we've got to continue to stand for those who are persecuted because of their faith.
Religious persecution is a situation where your life is literally put in jeopardy simply because of what you believe or what you might want to share in your faith, and your life's at risk.
We as Americans face religious discrimination. We do not face religious persecution like we see in other places in the world.
The level of persecution is on the rise. It's being reported more, we're seeing it, and we can see the imagery, we can see the brutality.
There's an element of violence or physical harm.
Persecution in other countries is very different. It's a matter of life and death.
We're talking about situations where people are put in jail, threatened with death or life imprisonment simply because of who they are and what they believe.
Don't even use the word persecution. I use the term religious cleansing now because it's the eradication of the entire Christian presence in country after country.
Every successive movement is becoming more vicious, more barbaric, and more savage than the previous one.
People are being killed because of their faith, brutally murdered because of their faith, being sold into slavery because of their faith.
There's a much larger issue here. For the last 5 or 6 years, there's been tremendous persecution, almost a genocide.
Now we're seeing, of course, the rise of Islamic extremism.
They're out to cause total death and destruction.
There's religious persecution all over that country, but they're most harsh on people who turn away from Islam.
We have to be cognizant of the fact that globally, persecution is as alive and well as it has ever been.
These techniques, these tactics, this brutality is not new. It's just now in our living rooms, and we're seeing it in our own nations.
There are 6 Jews left in the whole of Iraq. It was the biggest Jewish community in the Middle East. And now we have 6.
It's like it's open season on Christians.
Remember, right now we have a matching challenge. Anything you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice effectively doubled. You can donate online at aclj.org or by the phone. That's 877-989-2255. Ultimately, this is how we do the work we do here in the United States and around the world. Go to aclj.org and be a part of our matching challenge. If you're able to now, it's a great time to donate or call toll-free number 877-989-2255.
In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We are discussing Christian persecution. Of course, that involves religious persecution around the world, but we're seeing this increase specifically focused on the church, the actual people, and the buildings. We're seeing the churches destroyed, the artifacts destroyed, the churches that date back to the times of Christ and the times of the disciples. Now we are seeing those in the crosshairs of radical extremists and Islamists like the Islamic State. And we want to, folks, make sure that we are doing everything we can, standing up for the persecuted, seeking justice when we can, or in our office in Pakistan, speaking out for those who are unjustly and illegally imprisoned, like Saeed Abedini, those who are facing death because of their faith. You remember Pastor Yousef Nader Khani or Asiya Bibi, who's in a Pakistani prison now because of her being accused of blasphemy and is facing the death penalty. We're going to go to Naghma Abedini talking about her situation involving Saeed Abedini. We'll talk about Yousef Nader Khani's case. A reminder, folks, about this persecution. It's all part of a brand new documentary we've got coming out soon. You're getting a preview now, and I encourage you to be part of our matching challenge. Anything you donate to us is effectively doubled right now at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255. Let's go to some more of that preview.
Saeed became a believer in 2000. Soon after that, he started house churches, underground churches. He was arrested by the intelligence police, and he was told as long as he discontinued any house church movement, that they would allow him to freely move back and forth into Iran, see his family, his parents, his siblings. One of the intelligence police even suggested, why don't you do humanitarian efforts? So when he came back in 2009, we were praying and we both had a huge heart for the orphans. The government actually gave us approval. Between 2009 and 2012, Saeed traveled into Iran more than 9 times. He followed all the guidelines he was given by the government. Unfortunately, he was stopped. His passport was taken as he was leaving to come back to the U.S. He was under house arrest for 2 months, from July to September. And in September of 2012, the house was raided, his parents' house that he was staying at in Iran, and he was taken by Revolutionary Guards. I got in touch with the State Department immediately. It was the hardest phone call of my life because I expected something, and they said, there's nothing we can do.
Saeed had traveled back and forth to Iran several times since 2009, and this was the first instance where, before he left, he said, Naghma, should anything happen to me, I want you to reach out to this news reporter who he had connected to via Facebook. She'll know what to do. Lisa Daftari, who's been great on Saeed's case, called my cell phone and said, Tiffany, I don't know who else to give this client to you except for the ACLJ. Would you be willing to talk to her?
So I immediately called and said, this is what's happened. We don't know where he is.
We're on the phone with Nagma Abedini, his wife, here in the United States. We started working on his situation within 24 hours of his arrest. By the time Saeed was returned home and put under house arrest, we represented Saeed internationally.
From that moment, of course, it's a highly intense situation. We step in both as advocates, somebody who can step in, removed from the emotion, to be able to provide objectivity to what is a situation that's very hard to have clarity in when it's one of your family members who's been taken or missing. It was also her Christian counselor who sat and prayed with her through a very difficult time.
I don't know if people realize how crucial ACLJ was in our life. I believe it was God's provision that ACLJ had already dealt with legal issues in Iran. They already knew a lot of the legal system, they were very familiar with the Iranian system, the court.
Saeed Abedini's case was not the first case, not the first apostasy case, not the first death penalty case we handled. We handled the case for another Iranian, Yousef Nadarkhani.
Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani is an Iranian Christian pastor, and he was in prison because of his work as a Christian, the house churches that these Christians are involved in. And it's questionable, even under Iranian law, if that's even illegal. There are a number of Christians imprisoned in Iran only because of their faith. They came to us because he was in a dire situation. They're not attorneys, so a smaller ministry said, can you help? Can you do something? He's on death row. He's been given a death sentence, so not just a prison sentence, but a death sentence. Is there anything you can do? And so we launched an international campaign.
A Christian pastor in Iran imprisoned for nearly 3 years, facing a death sentence because of his Christian faith. July 8, 2012 marked the 1,000th day of captivity for Christian pastor Yousef Nadarkhani, facing execution for simply becoming a Christian. When Iranian officials demanded that he recant his faith in Jesus Christ or die, he responded with two words, "I cannot." It is vital to keep Pastor Yousef in the spotlight and the pressure on Iran. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are doing all that we can in this country and abroad to secure his freedom. Our Tweet for Yousef campaign reaches more than 2.2 million Twitter accounts daily, spanning the globe, connecting 200 countries around the world, calling attention to the plight of Pastor Yousef. We also know the importance of the power of prayer, and so does Pastor Yousef. In a letter he released from prison not long ago, he specifically thanked everyone who has, quote, asked for my release or campaigns and human rights activities which are going on against the charges which are applied to me, end quote. He also had one simple request, pray for me, he wrote. Please continue to pray for Pastor Yousef and all those who face persecution because of their Christian faith.
When the regime gets more radical, as it was under Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani when he was in prison, they not only put him in jail or in prison, but they sentenced him to death. And they charged him with also being an apostate. That means someone who left Islam. So he was a Muslim and he converted to Christianity. In his trial, his death penalty trial, this is how much it is about religion and nothing else, and about faith and nothing else. They gave him three opportunities to renounce his faith, and he would have walked out. So not only would he have not faced the death penalty, he would have walked out of prison. And the court case would have been over if he would have just said, I don't believe in Christ, I'm now a Muslim, gone through the Muslim prayer, and that would be it.
Kenan Andrew White is a great hero of mine. He created a church, St. George's, in Baghdad with the remnants of the Christian community there, and established clinics and other aid programs to help them and to help the few remaining Jews and to help Muslims in the area.
And things have been very difficult recently. There's been a major increase in violence. A lot of our people have started fleeing again because they feel under attack, and they are being attacked. And another problem is that a lot of our people who fled before to Syria are now fleeing back. And we've had to help these people who've come back with absolutely nothing. No money, no house, no food. So we're having to do a lot for them as well.
He has a love for these Iraqi Christians that is sincere, it is real, and it's deep. But he also has a love for the Jewish people in the state of Israel. So it's this unique blend that makes Andrew White really who he is.
Our church has grown from literally nothing when we opened it. The only signs of life were some pigeons flying around. And that the church developed to be a church of 6,500 people. We had a school, an incredible clinic, and a hospital, all full medical facilities. We did everything, and we still do. And then a few years ago, things started getting bad.
He is a very tall presence there, a big presence. He's a charismatic person. And he's from the West, so he is very much a target, and so is his congregation.
He's a reconciliation guy. He's someone that works with others to come into common ground.
Until a month ago, none of us knew what the Islamic State even stood for. We did not know ISIS. We lived together, Christians and Muslims. We helped each other, we cared for each other. And suddenly this group appears. This group who wants to slaughter all of our people, who want to murder them, massacre them, remove them from their homeland.
ISIS has destroyed the Christian community inside Iraq. It's an unbelievable reign of terror that has been unleashed on the Christians of Iraq.
All I can do is say, I won't leave you. Because I know for many of those people, if they don't leave, they will probably be killed. We need people to realize that this is such an extreme form of terrorist activity. That what we have worked for and achieved is just being banished overnight.
To continue the work that we do, we require your support, your activism, call and add your name to petitions, but we also need your financial support if you're able to support us. To make a financial contribution, this is a great time because the matching challenge, anything you donate is effectively doubled for the ACLJ. So a $10 donation becomes $20. You can figure it out from there. You can make the donation online now at aclj.org and be part of our matching challenge or call our toll-free number. Lines are open now. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. My dad sat down and had a discussion with Canon Andrew White, known as the Vicar of Baghdad. And he was in the United States, and is a good friend of ours, but was having a discussion about what it's like for the persecuted church right now falling under the threat from the Islamic State. Those territories and areas which have already been taken by the Islamic State, the persecution, the killing, and in this really egregious and brutal way, the executions of men, women, children, Christians, because of their faith, that done, you know, crucifixions, beheadings. You've seen that imagery. You've heard about the imagery in the news. We're going to talk about that with Canon Andrew White, the Vicar of Baghdad, who is there. These are his church. These are the people he knows who are facing this persecution now. Let's take a listen.
Well, we're seeing a rise of Islamic extremism. This is not only happening in Iraq, but also in Pakistan, Sudan, Northern Nigeria, Somalia.
The entire church communities, Christian communities, wiped out in places like Syria and Iraq. Where that's our history, that's our heritage. Those are the places we point to as the birthplace of Christianity as we know it. And they want to eradicate our history there. So they want to not just kill the people, they want to destroy the buildings.
You see that right now in the Middle East, especially in the Middle East, but also in Africa, Northern Africa particularly, where people are literally being hung because of their faith. And of course, if you take a situation with a group like ISIS, being beheaded, crucified, simply because they're Christians and will not forcibly be converted to another religion, in that particular case, Islam.
The situation in Iraq, this is one of the most robust Christian communities left in the Middle East. They fled because they were targeted by various jihadi groups.
There are more Iraqi Christians now in Chicago than there are in the whole of Iraq.
ISIS's purpose is to establish a global caliphate, putting everyone under Sharia Islamic law, with no exceptions.
You would think that 1,400 years that this would have been, you know, gone, long gone, but it's coming back, and it's coming back with vengeance, with far less even mercy than those original Islamist invaders.
We're seeing it now more than we ever saw before.
We're going through a period of a great wave of persecution. In fact, Pope Francis has said recently that there's more persecution today than there was in the first century of Rome.
The Islamic recruiters for Al-Qaeda-tied groups like Al-Shabaab, they're going into the slums, into the poor neighborhoods of Nairobi and other major cities in Kenya. And they're offering up jobs. They're saying it's job training. And these are people that don't have a lot of future, that don't necessarily have a lot going for them in life, and then ultimately they end up at a terrorist training camp where they're indoctrinated.
There's no reasoning. They do not understand reasoning. They think Allah said it, and therefore we are His emissaries, and we've got to do it.
ووفقهم ومكنهم لتحقيق غايتهم وإن أردتم موعود الله فجاهدوا في سبيل الله.
If you see the brutality that is engaged in by ISIS, what is the commonality with all of these regimes? They really target Christians.
For the first time, there will be no, since Christianity, there will be no Christmas in 2014 in the entire area of Nineveh. Because ISIS has driven out every last Christian and closed every last church.
Thousands and thousands of refugees have had to flee Nineveh. They've got no homes. They live in churches on the floor. They live in plastic tents. They've got nothing.
Christians, at best, are treated like second-class citizens, or at worst, like in Iraq today and in Syria. No matter what they do, They cannot exist. Their churches cannot remain open. They must be killed or driven out.
What we have worked for and achieved is just being banished overnight.
The stories that we hear about here in the U.S. are the ones that are the most shocking and the most brutal, and the ones that really, they shock the conscience. You almost can't believe. It's not just a simple murder, if you put it that way, but it's done in such a barbaric way that we all take a step back and say, this is how poorly people view Christians. They don't value their life at all.
At the same time, there are Muslims who are wanting just to live a life. There are many of these people who are being annihilated as well. They are being killed in Mosul. They're being killed in these other cities because they won't join ISIS. They just want to live their life. And so they have been executed as well. So if there's Christians, no question, but there's also Muslims that are suffering too under this.
They are saying this is not Islam. This is not what we stand for. And this is not what we have developed in our relationship together over the years. We love each other, we respect each other, and now there is nothing there but total isolation and destruction.
Not stopping ISIS is not an option. ISIS has to be crushed. They have to be completely eliminated. You have to defeat them militarily, you have to defeat them politically, you have to defeat them in the hearts and minds of Muslims, and that's a part of this process. It has to be eliminated.
A Muslim mob in Pakistan that's burning a couple alive in between two pieces of metal, and there's a crowd cheering that. I mean, you're talking about front lines of extremism where there are Christians being killed almost on a daily basis.
People are still getting killed. People are still getting tortured.
You've got a combination of lethality capability that previous generations that were on an Islamic conquest did not have, weaponry, sophistication, telecommunications, social media.
ISIS is serious about its business of mass destruction. And whether we are in Washington, New York, or London, we are all at risk.
Instead of dealing with slings and arrows, or even bullets, you could be dealing with a situation where you have weapons of mass destruction.
They have killed people. They have chopped their heads off. They have cut little children in half. It is so painful. These were people that we loved. These were our people. And they have gone.
The United States is the strongest government in the world. We have the best military in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. If you put our intelligence capabilities together with our allies and really determine who our allies are, there is no doubt we have the capability to stop this and end it.
When the U.S. speaks, the world listens. Even if it's an enemy of the United States, like a North Korea, the world has to pay attention. We, I think, have a very important role. We finance, we do so much foreign funding, billions of dollars a year is going out from the United States to these countries. And that's why I think we have to make decisions ultimately, very soon in the future. How much are we going to let these countries get away with persecuting people before we say we're going to cut your funding off?
You know, many governments are self-conscious about their human rights records. Not all, but many are. And that's important to use that spotlight, shining the spotlight to show the injustice of these governments.
Folks, when we come back, we'll discuss who are our allies? What is the role that the United States government can play in the fight against persecution and to stand for the persecuted? We'll talk about it all. We come back. If you want to be part of our matching challenge, 877-989-2255. You call that number now or go to aclj.org. DC. Nothing the eye
should ever see. Now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. The topic, the persecution of Christians. We have a new documentary coming out soon, and we're giving you a preview of it today. Some of the conversations about the work that we do, other leaders that we work with around the world, the work that we have done, the work that we are doing, all because of you. Thousands of you speak out when we need you to on petitions and join committees, whether it's about cases here in the United States or international issues of persecution. And also, I have to thank all of you who support us financially. If you're able to make a financial donation, this is a great time to do it because we have a matching challenge. Anything you donate to the ACLJ by phone or online is doubled. So your donation has doubled the impact. It's a great time if you're thinking about making a financial contribution to the ACLJ or you have in the past to do so. If you're able to, you call our toll-free number now and make the donation by phone at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or make the donation online, be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org.
So who are our allies? Turkey's a member of NATO. Yet the greatest funnel for people leaving Europe to join with ISIS, they flow right through Turkey.
I think the U.S. government can play a very important role with these cases in Pakistan because Pakistan and the United States are allies. We all know that money has strings attached, so maybe let's put another string to it and say let's release these people who are accused, falsely accused of the blasphemy cases, and they're spending their lives in prison. So I think it's important that the U.S. government brings up these issues with the Pakistani government.
We give billions of dollars of aid to Pakistan. Turkey is a NATO partner. But what are we getting in return for this? Nothing. Let's start exercising the power of the purse. This is the perfect time for the United States to put conditions, human right conditions, on our aid. If you support terror, if you give a safe haven to terror, if you are aiding and abetting a terrorist, you don't get U.S. aid, period.
Our founders intentionally set this government up to have stress between the branches. We at the ACLJ use that stress to our advantage. The executive branch often does not want to engage these cases of religious persecution. The legislative branch, because they're closer to the people, are often more inclined to engage them. Therefore, we often leverage the legislative branch to force the executive branch to action.
Well, there are political actions we can take, and one is using the bully pulpit. Our president, our secretary of state, should be raising these cases every time they have an opportunity.
In order to make a difference in some cases, we need people who are free from religious persecution to advocate for those who are not. And this is why the tie between America and the rest of the world is so important. We live under the protections of the First Amendment. Those who don't, those who are persecuted for their faith need someone to stand in the gap for them. At the ACLJ, one of the main things that we do is give our members an opportunity to advocate for those who can't advocate for themselves.
Well, one of the things that we do consistently is make sure that our elected officials know exactly where we stand as American citizens on these issues. You know, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, everybody quotes the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and that's all in there. But there's also a provision in the First Amendment that says you're allowed to petition the government for a redress of a grievance.
What I think is the most effective advocacy when it comes to our grassroots support, and that's the petition. That's getting people, so we can say 300,000 people in a week care about this issue, have spoken out, and we take that information. It's not just a bunch of signatures online or by phone that you call. We really do take that to members of Congress, to government officials around the world, and we lay it out for, okay, this is how many people care about this. This is how many people in your congressional district or your state care about this.
One of the beautiful things about the American way of government is that it is specifically designed to be responsive to the people. When the ACLJ is able to build a petition of hundreds of thousands of names, it inspires action from Congress, especially when we can show each individual member who on that petition actually has an opportunity to vote for them.
When we come back, more about persecution, the work that we are doing around the world, how you can help directly, and of course the activism that you can take, what we need to do. We'll be talking about it all when we come back. I encourage you, be part of our matching challenge. Anything you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled. So it's a great time to make a financial contribution if you're able to. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and make that donation online.
In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now, your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The
time is now. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We are discussing Christian persecution. Of course, that involves religious persecution around the world, but we're seeing this increase specifically focused on the church, the actual people, and the buildings. We're seeing the churches destroyed, the artifacts destroyed, the churches that date back to the times of Christ and the times of the disciples. Now we are seeing those in the crosshairs of radical extremists and Islamists like the Islamic State. And we want to, folks, make sure that we are doing everything we can, standing up for the persecuted, seeking justice when we can. We're at our office in Pakistan, speaking out for those who are unjustly and illegally imprisoned, like Saeed Abedini, those who are facing death because of their faith. It's all part of a brand new documentary we've got coming out soon. You're getting a preview now, and I encourage you to be part of our matching challenge. Anything you donate to us is effectively doubled right now at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255. Let's go to some more of that preview.
But first, our world lead, a man in prison who may feel as if he's forgotten, but he has not been forgotten by his friends and family. But hopefully he's also not been forgotten by his government.
Has the president been kept apprised of his situation?
I don't have a statement. I'll have to take the question. You know, the president is obviously updated on a variety of issues with regards to Iran, but I don't have anything specific for you on that.
There's always a reaction that you kind of say when you hear about something like this, like Saeed's situation, and you get involved in it, and he's been arrested and put under house arrest for being a Christian. You want to kind of jump, and you have this reactionary feeling that, okay, I need to jump to the news. I need to tell the news.
Anytime you get a case where there's either a death penalty or the equivalent of a death penalty for someone being persecuted for their faith, you need time to analyze the situation and also work intergovernmentally. In other words, we needed to find out what the United States State Department, in Saeed Abedini's case, what they were willing to do. How far would the State Department go in seeking his release? What international agencies they would bring to bear on his situation? That takes time. Timing is very important in all of these cases.
In Saeed's situation, we really did wait as long as possible to try and get it resolved before going public. And what we have a balance. The balance is this. Is it going to put them at more risk by going public? Or are we at a point now where there's so much risk that going public may be the only reason they stay alive? And to this day, I think that the only reason Saeed Abedini hasn't been killed in prison and is still the possibility of coming home is because we decided to go public when we did.
It was a very difficult decision to go public. We waited 3 months from the day he was physically taken, which anyone wants to immediately call media and say, my husband's gone, we don't know where he is, but we waited, we were patient, and we wanted to try other avenues before going forward.
And we went public because Saeed was being tortured, because he was being beaten, and we knew that although that would corner the Iranian government into having to find a solution very publicly, it also could potentially protect him from those beatings, from that torture.
It was right before Christmas of 2012 that we knew he had a court date. Once you get a court date in the revolutionary court system, you're going to be found guilty. The question is, how long will your sentence be, and will it be a death sentence, and what happens next? So we knew we had to go public.
And welcome back to Hannity. A 32-year-old American pastor, the Reverend Saeed Abedini, has been detained by one of Iran's most notorious prisons since late September for charges that have not been made public, other than the fact that he is a convert Christian.
Concerns are growing for an American pastor who remains locked up inside an Iranian prison. His alleged crime? He's a Christian.
Well, for Christmas, this should be the most joyous time of the year, but one American family is spending the season fighting to get a pastor freed from prison, 32-year-old Reverend Saeed Abedini.
Jay, not very different from what we see happening, Coptic Christians are being persecuted in Egypt.
Right.
A lot of Christians in the Muslim world, this is not uncommon. It's happening more and more, as a matter of fact, as we see the rise of radicalism.
Well, I heard about it on the media, like most Americans, and I was just appalled and shocked. But I also thought, well, with this media attention, he'll be getting out of jail soon. They're bound to release him. Why would they want this bad publicity? But it just doesn't seem to affect the Iranians. It's like they don't care.
Let's talk about this pastor who remains in jail. He's being held there simply by the fact that he's a Christian?
That's basically it. Pastor Saeed is 32 years old. He's been in the worst prison, the most notorious prison in Tehran, Evin prison, since September.
And so it's been very difficult, and especially during Christmas time, there's a big hole in our family.
An Iranian-American pastor imprisoned in Iran is set to go on trial January 21st.
Although he's been in custody since September, the criminal charges that he faces date back to the year 2000. That's when Abedini converted from Islam to Christianity, an act which carries the death sentence in Iran.
What is known about the judge or judges, David Lee?
Well, this judge has been called one of Iran's hanging judges.
This is another example of Muslims persecuting Christians. It happened in Egypt. It happened in Nigeria. It's happened all over that area, and you've got to stop it.
As for Abedini, he remains steadfast and says he is prepared to hang for his faith in Jesus. His supporters are urging Washington to do more to pressure Iran to set him free.
Well, this sounds very ominous. An American pastor from Idaho disappears from a jail in Iran.
Now, the pastor's family says that he is missing.
This Thursday, they went to the prison and he was not there. They don't know where he is. As of now, there was no notice, and we're hoping to be able to find out where he is soon.
Jordan, either it's a bureaucratic mess up, or they're incompetent, or they have done something sinister.
Yeah, I think with Iran, you assume the worst, but you hope for the best. Saeed was charged and convicted of attempting to undermine the national security of the Islamic Republic of Iran by his work with what was called illegal gatherings back in the early 2000s.
That, by the way, is typically what these governments will do, because they view a Christian as a national security threat. Now, we look at that in the West and say that's absolutely absurd. So the initial charge in any of these cases is usually focused on an issue of national security.
The illegal gatherings that they thought were going to overthrow the government were house churches that were legal. He had no legal problems then. You know, so over a decade ago, he wasn't getting arrested there. He wasn't getting in trouble. He was a convert from Islam and had a Christian wedding in Iran that was government okayed. It got the, you know, normal government approval for a wedding. The family ultimately left Iran and returned back to Nagmeh's home in the United States. But his charge and his conviction is being a national security threat to Iran. And the act there, what he did to become that national security threat, was being a Christian.
فإن لم تقبلوا فليس بيننا وبينكم إلا القتل والقتال.
وإذا بهم يقولون نريد الجزية والله ما آذيناهم والله ما هجرناهم.
The word jizya is different from the word daraib. Daraib means taxes. Jizya means punishment or penalty. And it is only applied to Jews and Christians, whom they call the people of the book.
Number one, you can pay a tax. But these people have no money, so they can't pay the tax. Number two, you can convert. You could leave your faith in Christianity or whatever the particular religion is, convert to Islam, and that will keep you alive. Or three, you'll be executed. That may be by hanging, by being shot, by being crucified, by being beheaded. They tend to go for beheadings because they use that as a recruiting tool. And there are not really many options here because these people don't have money to pay a tax and live in peace.
There was a certain amount of protection, even from Assad in Syria, there's been a certain amount of protection for minorities, even the Jewish community.
Right.
But now with Saddam Hussein gone, with the war we see in Syria, there is no protection anymore.
These people you cannot deal with. They will not talk with you. There is nothing you can reasonably achieve. You can only survive. You can only function by the supernatural power of God.
You can give a person a chance to recant. And if they do, they could be forgiven. But if they refuse to recant, then they're to be executed. And we see this happen in the Middle East where people have come to faith in Christ, and it's the duty of the family to force them to recant. If they don't, then the family executes them. And we have seen a number of cases of that over the years.
In many Muslim countries today, where there are minorities, Christian, Jewish, minorities, even women who are not minorities, are treated like second-class citizens under Islamic law. Their testimony is worth less or weighted less than a Muslim man's in a court.
Muslims have a voice in a court proceeding that is elevated much higher than any other faith. In fact, many other faiths, including Christianity, it's hard to get them in trial. We have to take international efforts to get these cases in trial. And then you put on top of that, in Asiya Bibi's case, a female. Well, that's even a lower rung.
To continue the work that we do, we require your support, your activism, call, add your name to petitions, but we also need your financial support if you're able to support us. To make a financial contribution, this is a great time because the matching challenge, anything you donate is effectively doubled for the ACLJ. So a $10 donation becomes $20. You could figure it out from there. You can make the donation online now at aclj.org and be part of our matching challenge or call our toll-free number. Lines are open now. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In a dangerous world where there's growing chaos and conflict, the American Center for Law and Justice is there for you. Our commitment is clear. We're engaging the most critical issues of the day, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam, to challenging an out-of-control IRS that unlawfully targets conservative Americans, to standing up for Israel, our most important ally, we could not do this work without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. The topic, the persecution of Christians. We have a new documentary coming out soon, and we're giving you a preview of it today. Some of the conversations about the work that we do, other leaders that we work with around the world, the work that we have done, the work that we are doing, all because of you. Thousands of you speak out when we need you to on petitions and join committees, whether it's about cases here in the United States or international issues of persecution. And also, I have to thank all of you who support us financially. If you're able to make a financial donation, this is a great time to do it because we have a matching challenge. Anything you donate to the ACLJ by phone or online is doubled. So your donation has doubled the impact. It's a great time if you're thinking about making a financial contribution to the ACLJ or you have in the past to do so. If you're able to, you call our toll-free number now and make the donation by phone at 877-989-2255 or make the donation online, be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org. Now let's take a listen to our upcoming documentary about religious persecution around the world.
A Pakistani court is upholding the death sentence for Asia Bibi, the Christian woman accused of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad.
Asia Bibi, 45 years old and mother of five, is the first woman to be condemned to death under Pakistan's blasphemy laws. She insulted the Prophet Muhammad, her accusers say. That was enough for the local cleric to demand the police lock her up and put her on trial.
Grief and agony of two young girls who wait to see if the Pakistani government will execute their jailed mother. Whenever I see her picture, I cry, says 12-year-old Isham.
Her husband, Ashik, and their children are in hiding, sheltered by a small Christian colony away from their village.
Asia Bibi is a Christian woman on death row. She's been in prison in Pakistan since 2009. She is accused of blasphemy. The charges against her were not able to be repeated in court because that itself would be another act of blasphemy. So there was no evidence against her, and she was convicted and sentenced to death.
Pakistan's an example also where you have an individual case, Asia Bibi, a mother of five, gets into a situation where she's giving water to a Muslim woman. So her crime is that she gives something to drink to a Muslim woman who thinks that's unclean, and then makes a condescending statement about Jesus. And Asia Bibi's a Christian, and she says Jesus is the true prophet. And for that, she is now sentenced to death by hanging.
This is what we see too often, is that when people don't like something about a Christian, or they're upset at a Christian, or there's a dispute, business dispute over a Christian, what you'll see in these countries that have these laws, they're abused. So someone says, well, let's see, I don't know what I could actually get the charge them with, so I'll just say they blasphemed the prophet, and I'll get two of my friends to say they did, and now they won't just be in trouble, they'll be on death row.
Blasphemy laws were promulgated in the 80s in Pakistan, and generally what they prohibit is any insulting remarks about the Islamic religion. But the most notorious of the laws is section 295C of the Penal Code, which says that whoever by words, either spoken or written, or by any visible representation or innuendo or insinuation, defiles the sacred name of the Prophet Muhammad shall be punished with death.
And a defamation of Islam is very subjective, very amorphous, and can be used without any evidence. In fact, it's blasphemous to produce evidence in some of these cases.
Well, under Islamic law, for instance, converting from Islam to Christianity is a capital offense. So the penalty for that is death. So they will take the elements of the Quran, apply it to the law, and then base their criminal code off of that.
The other thing we should be doing is pushing back, for example, on the blasphemy law in Pakistan, demanding reform of that law. Of course, it should be rescinded, but the first step is some kind of reform, stopping the capital punishment of blasphemy when there's no evidence in most of these cases, when there are ulterior motives in most of these cases.
I think the U.S. government can play a very important role. It's important that we bring up these cases and talk to the Pakistani officials, who are supposedly our friends, to talk to them and make sure that justice is provided in these cases and people are not falsely accused.
It's not just the United States that can take action against the implementation of blasphemy laws in Pakistan, or anywhere else for that matter. It's an international effort. These blasphemy laws conflict with international human rights norms and international human rights law. And the governments around the world need to insist that when a government signs a treaty or signs onto a declaration of human rights, that those human rights are fulfilled.
It seems like reform for the blasphemy law in Pakistan cannot come from within. Those who try get murdered. So they need a strong voice like the United States to speak, to push back, to speak up and say, this is an injustice.
New concerns for the safety of an American pastor, Saeed Abedini, sentenced this week to 8 years in Iran's most brutal prison, accused of illegally practicing his Christian faith. Past inmates report beatings and torture and mock executions. One of those inmates was Marina Naymat. What is it like inside?
It's living hell. Upon arrival, they blindfold you. Then they take you for interrogation. They ask you a few questions. Then they never like the answers that you give. Then they take you to the torture room. They tie you up and they torture you.
Case is completely bogus, but once again, the U.S. State Department and the president seem powerless.
So where is the Obama administration? Where's the U.N.? Where's the State Department?
The Obama administration needs to come out publicly.
Why is the White House not more involved in this case?
I think it's outrageous what we've seen from the State Department so far.
We're not seeing a more aggressive action from our government. I hope that to see more of that, and not just from our government, but all over the world, because this is a violation of his human rights, and Iran is violating that right. And Iran needs to be accountable to that.
In a letter to his wife, he said he had been beaten.
Maybe you ask, what is the secret of being so happy in such a hard situation? Forgiveness and a change of attitude. When we forgive, we become free and we become messengers of peace and reconciliation and goodness. He also talks about not receiving medical treatment for the internal bleeding that he's suffered from beatings. Are you concerned that he will not survive his prison sentence?
Yes, very much. Every day is a battle, a survival battle, and that's why we've been fighting to get him out as soon as possible.
We found out over the weekend we were asked to participate, as well as Nagme Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, in a hearing before the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission, which is completely bipartisan in the House of Representatives. Many of the members of this commission, including the two co-chairs, were part of the bipartisan letter last month to Secretary Kerry asking him to do more. So this is not a Republican-Democrat issue, but instead really Congress and who's doing everything they can, but the administration who's been ignoring them. So we're going to actually be able to testify to present Saeed's case to the House of Representatives, to the commission, and also the State Department's been invited to participate, so they will also be there and subject to the questioning of these members of Congress who have asked for more.
We have a lot of resources up at ACLJ.org on the persecution issue. We're continually updating that. We're speaking out for the persecuted. Some of the work has to be behind the scenes because families are in too much jeopardy. So there are situations we can talk about, situations we can't talk about. We want to, again, ask you if you're able to support the ACLJ financially. We don't do this all the time on the broadcast. It's a matching challenge right now. So effectively, your donation has doubled the impact to us at ACLJ. A $10 donation becomes $20, $20 donation becomes $40. You can make the donation online at aclj.org or by phone at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. Be a part of our matching challenge. We'll talk to you next time.
Now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.